through 11 says this: Go to the ant, O sluggard, observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief officer or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond, and your need like an armed man. This is a text we're looking at this morning. We pray that God would bless us and lead us into truth today through this text and this portion of Scripture. As I think back on my life and the men and women that helped shape me to be who I am today, one of my mentors that I look up to and respect very much so, when he heard that I felt called to be a pastor, he pulled me aside and he said, "I want to warn you about a few pitfalls of being a pastor." And he said, "It comes down to these three things." And he said, "The first is sex. The next is sloth. And then the third is," and he was going for alliteration, but he had three money signs. Money, okay? Sex, sloth, and money. All right, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt here. And he said, you know, as a pastor, you're going to face these things, and they're going to be temptations in front of you that will lead you to trip up. And I said, all right, let's go. Let's learn and avoid these temptations and walk in truth. And I guess the more as I've reflected upon that wise counsel from my mentor, I don't think it applies only to pastors, but I think in any profession, any walk of life, these three areas tend to be where we fall or where we trip up in life. Last week, we looked at the adulterous woman or the adulterous one, sex, how that can trip us up. And today's message is going to be about sloth, the idea of procrastinating, of being a sluggard. And so I'm guessing that each and every one of us have battled this idea in our life. And as we continue to walk through Proverbs here, the section here in chapter 6, verses 1 through 19, this is the eighth address of a father to his son in these first nine chapters in Proverbs. Remember, King Solomon, he's coming to his son. He's putting his arm around them. He's saying, "My son, listen to my advice, my counsel, as I have learned in the throes and the trenches of life." And here he is coming up to his son, and he is going to have a lesson today for him that is especially on this second topic of sloth or sluggishness. Okay, as I mentioned last week, we were introduced to the person that was the adulterous woman or the adulteress. And that person was somebody that personifies that concept. And I think there is another one of those types of characters. And if you've ever read The Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, I'd encourage you to do that. That book especially has a lot of this type of thing, of a character trait or an idea or a concept personified. And today, the personification, if I were to take you into one of the couches here in church, you'd probably find the sluggard laying down there. We have the sluggard. Okay, that's the personified person in this text here. Look at verse 6 right away. He says, "Go to the ant, O sluggard." What a term. That's not something you want somebody to call you. And I've had friends jokingly say, "Come on, you sluggard, get going. Let's go. Let's keep it moving here." Sluggard, it's used a total of 14 times in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs talks a lot about, yes, sex, and a lot about sloth, and a little bit about money, too. We'll get to that eventually. But sluggard is used 14 times in the book of Proverbs. It's a title given to summarize a more specific character trait of that of a fool. And a fool is not something you want to be called. As I prepared for this message today, one of the ways that this word sluggard was translated was lazy bones. I love that. Come on, you lazy bones. Come on, you sluggard. Get going. Maybe we use the word slacker. You understand that word? Come on, you slacker. Let's get going. Start working. Do something. Come on, you, and maybe this hits a little bit more close to home, you procrastinator. Are any of you professional procrastinators today? Oh, wow. Okay. You actually raised your hand. That was a rhetorical question. yes, I'll raise my hand too. By nature, we don't want to get up and work. By nature, I believe all of us are sluggards in one way or another. In all those references to sluggard in Proverbs, I want to share one example of this. Proverbs 26, verses 13 through 16 says this. The sluggard says, "There is a lion in the road. A lion is in the open square. So therefore, I'm not going to go outside." A lion got loose from the zoo, I think. As the door turns on its hinges, you can almost hear the as the door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard on his bed. The sluggard, I love this one, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He is weary of bringing it to his mouth again. That's also repeated in Proverbs 19:24. Then listen to this. This is especially damning. The sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can give a discreet answer. Are you a sluggard today? Would you be called a slacker, sluggard? I love that. Lazy bones. Are you a bag of lazy bones today? Solomon, as he comes along his son, he says part of learning wisdom is learning this lesson in life. And as he puts his arm around his son, he is calling him to avoid destruction, just like we talked about in these last few weeks. When a life is lived in wisdom, much destruction is avoided down the road. King Solomon is giving life lessons to his son, and this life lesson is saturated with a whole lot of repentance, a whole lot of faith toward God. A sluggard is not repenting. A sluggard is not living his life or her life towards God or Godward. And so there are two calls of action for the sluggard today. Oh, sluggard. Oh, lazy bones here today. Oh, professional procrastinator. God's going to call us to repentance. And he's going to give us instruction. He's going to give us motivation for overcoming these flaws, this fatal flaw in our lives as we live this life of wisdom. And the first lesson for the sluggard is this. We need to learn from the ant. Let's look at verse 6. He says this, "Go to the ant, O lazy bones." Oh, sluggard, I'm going to have too much fun with this. "Go to the ant, O lazy bones. Observe her ways and be wise." So King Solomon pulls his son next to him and he says, "Let's have a little nature lesson today, son. Let's watch an episode of National Geographic together," which I never liked doing that. My kids love that. Great. If you love that, great. I don't like to watch those things, but we're going to watch an episode of National Geographic today. And he says, "Go to the ant." That's right, the ant. Not your mom's sister or your dad's sister. Here's a picture of my mom's family. I still have a hard time saying, "Aunt." Learn from the ant. Not we love our aunts, the mom's and dad's sister. But no, we're talking about the ant, that little creature. Yes, this guy right here. Ants are often seen as a pest, as sometimes we share even in our service. Let's pray for the ants to go away. They are a pest. There's something to exterminate. But if you can, in this moment, set that thought of an ant as a pest aside to dwell on another aspect of ants, right? We're watching an episode of National Geographic today. Ants are referenced only twice in the whole Bible, both times in Proverbs, here and in Proverbs 30, verse 25. And it says there, "The ants are not a strong people, but they prepare their food in summer." Okay, so King Solomon says, hey, let's learn from the ant. Let's watch this episode of National Geographic. Let's watch this nature episode about ants and observe something about how they work or how they go about their business. Jesus often did the same in his Proverbs or in his parables. Let's observe something in nature and learn a lesson, pull a lesson from that. This is God's world, after all, that he has created. We need to learn lessons from the ants, and there are two lessons to learn from the ant today. The first is this. The ant teaches us the value of self-directed productivity. Okay? The ant teaches the value of self-directed productivity. Look at verse 7 with me. Go to the ant, he says in verse 6. And this is what we're observing about the ant. Verse 7. Having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. Okay, so the ant does this. The ant is self-directed. There's something from within the ant that drives the ant to go about preparing ahead of time. They keep working. They're not motivated by the boss man saying, "Hey, ant, let's go. Get to work. Come on, you lazy bones." That's not the ant. The ant doesn't need a boss. It says it doesn't need an officer, doesn't need a ruler, doesn't need a chief over the ant to say, "Get to work." The ant is driven from within. Have you been in that place where, let's just shine a light in the darkness here. Have you been in that place where if you have a boss, you just kind of wait, you just kind of do the bare minimum along your day at work, but then when the boss comes, you get to work or get to really cracking at what you're doing. Have you been there? That's not the ant. But that's what we need to learn from the ant. The ant doesn't wait for that external motivation to get to work. The ant has an inner motivation. It's driven from within. They understand the value of self-directed productivity. So, if you are one who slacks off when no one is looking, where can we get this motivation? You see, sluggardness, lazy boneness, if that is a word, it is a disease of the fall, and it shows our sinful hearts. When we don't have the proper self-motivation, we're lacking something. What are we lacking? And that comes from the gospel, of course. Not as a means to an end, like, hey, I need more gospel so that I can get about doing work. But this is the way it works. When we are set free by Jesus Christ, when we are forgiven, we have freedom. And in that freedom, we start to see needs and what is around us, and we start to work empowered by and fueled by the good news of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says this, "The love of Christ compels us." Being a sluggard, we could say, is being a sinner. Being a slacker, being a procrastinator, is showing a disorder in some way. Our lives are disordered in a way. And so, though Jesus calls us to himself, he calls us to repent of our sluggardness. He calls us to repent of being a lazy bones. And he gives us the proper motivation to get going and to have self-directed productivity in our lives. We start to serve others in our callings, in our vocations. How we live our lives in light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here's another lesson we need to learn from the ant. Not only do we need to learn the value of self-directed productivity, but we also need to learn the value of diligent preparation for the future. Look at verse 7 and 8 again. "Which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest." The ant knows the value of diligent preparation for the future. Having that right motivation, having that drive from within, the ant goes about doing her work, all the necessary tasks before her. Yes, the ant has an eye to the future. How does the saying go? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. The ant lives by that. And the ant is ready for what is to come. When it's summer, it's time to prepare food. When it's harvest time, it's time to gather provision. Later in the book of Proverbs, the sluggard is contrasted with the wise ant. Listen to Proverbs 20, verse 4. The sluggard does not plow after the autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing. When it's time to work, you work. When it's time to rest, you rest. The sluggard says, when it's time to rest, you rest. When it's time to work, you rest. The sluggard doesn't know this. The sluggard needs to learn the lesson from the ant, to have diligent preparation for the future. Have you learned this lesson from the ant? Is there anything in the future that you need to prepare for right now? How would your future self benefit or suffer from the decision that your current self is making? What foresight is needed in my life, in your life? So King Solomon is coming alongside of his sons, and he's saying, let's learn the lesson from the ants. Let's learn these lessons together. Second lesson to learn, the second action point for the sluggard is this. And maybe it's obvious, and I've kind of already said it a little bit here, but the second lesson to this is get up. Get up and get going. Get up and at 'em. Listen to verses 9 through 11. How long will you lie down, O lazy bones, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond or like a robber, and your need like an armed man. O sluggard, when are you going to get up? The alarm clock is ringing, buzzing. Bzz. Are you so familiar with the sound of your alarm clock that you just ignore it or swat at it from the side of your bed like the sluggard does repeatedly? This is an alarm clock warning for all of us. All of us, in some level, at one level or another, all of us are lazy bones. When are we going to get up? The danger of laziness, of sluggardness, is if we don't get up, we will come to ruin. Observing the work ethic of the ants reveals that hard work leads to provision and readiness for the future, and yet laziness and sluggardness leads to poverty. And we see that destruction here, verses 9 through 11. I want to highlight something in this text. If you look at verse 10 with me, I want to zero in on this. I want to highlight this for us. Three times it's highlighted here, emphasized. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to the rest. This is the motto of the sluggard. Oh, just a little nap right here won't be bad. Oh, just a little bit of Netflix, that's okay. Oh, just a little bit of slumbering. You get the picture. And a little bit of a folding of the hands to rest. You know, almost picture the sluggard kicking up the feet. By the way, this isn't saying that rest is bad. It's good to rest when it's appropriate. But the sluggard is resting when it's not appropriate. And guess what? It comes in the form of a million different little decisions. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of their hands to rest. I'll give you a little secret. Sometimes I take like a 10-minute nap here at church. So if you ever walk in and I'm on the couch, that's what I'm doing. I'm just resting to get a power. But the sluggard says, I'm going to sleep the whole day away. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Have you said that, friend? Oh, just a little bit is okay. The boss isn't looking. What comes in that? The boss or the robber comes in verse 11. Your poverty will come in like a vagabond. When you least expect it, you will come to ruin. The sluggard will be destroyed. The sluggard will be taken over like an armed man, it says in verse 11. Excuses seem small to begin with. I appreciate this one quote from a guy who speaks about productivity. I appreciate that topic. He says this, the sluggard doesn't make a one-time decision that keeps him from being productive. He makes tons and tons of minor decisions that keep him from being productive. Work is good, friends. It's a good gift from God. Yes, it is tainted by the fall, And sometimes it's sweat-inducing. Yet work is one of those things that existed prior to the fall into sin as Adam worked in the Garden of Eden. And God says work is good. And if we are redeemed by Christ, we have the freedom to go about our daily life, preparing for the future, getting to the tasks before of us, motivated, propelled by the love of Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. As we repent of our sluggard ways, and as we turn to Jesus, who, by the way, was not sluggish about fulfilling His promise to you and I. He did not procrastinate in going to the cross. Jesus calls us to Himself, calls us to repent of being sluggards. And so today, oh, a bunch of lazy bones today, myself included, let's turn to Jesus. Let's repent. Let's ask Him to take this label of sluggard off of us, that we may live a life of faith and trust and of hard work, powered by God's strength and God's grace. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank You for this text before us. Thank You for the ant and the picture of the sluggard. They're so vivid. We praise You for Your word today. Lord, I pray that You would be calling all of us to repent, calling all of us to look to You, Jesus. Thank You that You are not slow in delivering on Your promises. We can fully trust in You. You are not the slacker. You are not the sluggard. You are the Savior. So, Jesus, would You work in us today? In Jesus' name, amen.